So we are at the very end of Siman Kufnun Zayin, and so the Torah says something, the Beis Yosef quotes his source, and then for some reason the Beis Yosef goes on and quotes a lot of things that are interesting, but are not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure where they come up, but I think we'll cover them. They are interesting, so we'll cover them a little bit. So the Torah says, so a person who is chayiv misa, so it sounds like he's liable to execution by the non-Jewish government, meaning in a he's being run after, to his life is in danger. So umatzil atzma b'meshe b'reach lebeis avodus chachavim, and he can save himself by running into the church. So kasav adoni aviharash sheyachol livroach l'socha ve'in b'zeh mishumoda be'avodazara. That he's permitted to run in there, and that is not considered as if he is moda to avodazara. Now, the Darkei Moshe just quickly says at the end here, he says, Umihu b'shas hashvad, that's going to be permissible. Okay. I'm sorry, it's going to be usher. That's what Darkei Moshe says, and that's what we'll see in Shulchan Aruch. That's the way it's followed through. It seems to be a machlokas, Beis Yosef and Ramah, whether at a time of shas hashvad, if one is permitted to run into a church in order to save oneself. So the problem with that is that it seems to go against a halach. I mean, what would be the problem with running into a church in order to save oneself? Why would I be concerned about that? Why would I not be allowed? Why would I think I wouldn't be allowed?
Relying on their avodah.
Relying on them, right? Well, not just relying on protection, but there's also a big Mar Sinai issue. Why is he running into a church? Right, that's, well, what's he doing? Now, if you tell it to me, like, well, that's pretty crazy. I mean, why would that be subject to Marasayin? Well, we had that halacha, if you recall. We had that halacha, even in the time of Bikuach Nefesh, it seemed to say that one is not permitted to drink that water that comes out of the gargoyle, if I remember that. That seemed to be the din as Kohen Shulchan. Possibly, even Mishum Bikuach Nefesh, one is not permitted to do that. Why? Because it looks like you're violating Avodah Zarah. So why is this permissible? It looks like you're running into a church, even though you're coming to save your life. While perhaps that halacha was prohibited in that you're taking a drink of water that looks like you're violating a avodah zarah, even though you're not actually violating a avodah zarah. So that is brought up by the prisha on the page. On the bottom of the page, he says here, the afagav de la'il simen kuf mem tes, even though eat simanim earlier, Ubisimen kuf nun, chasaf harash v'dimishum chashada aser, that should be us because of chashad lishtos mimayim shilifnei avodah zarah, to drink from the spring that was in front of the avodah zarah, afil apikuach nefesh. So yesh l'chalik, so one could distinguish and say, the shiny, and that's the way Rechaber Paskin, Rechaber quoted that Rashba, says, the shiny hasam sharoa in yodeish mishum kuach nefesh nichlas, because there, if you're an onlooker, so you have no idea what he's going for. Is he going because he's in danger and he needs something to drink desperately, or is he going because he wants to worship the avodah zarah by drinking the water there? So that's a shehut tzame kolkach. Mashein kein kan, but as opposed to here, sharo sharof me'achrav. Here, I know exactly why he's running to the church, because that guy over there is running after him in order to kill him. So I see what's going on here, lahargo, but chai gavna, so then it's going to be permissible. V'gami n'udom l'mashakasav asim kuftan. Hey, the asur l'hisrapos v'avodah zarah, that there's also a problem of getting healed by way of avodah zarah, right? The shiny hasam, the sarv d'yesh, v'mashas v'avodah zarah. Because there it sounds like we're acknowledging that there might be some issue with, that there might be actually be something gained through via the avodah zarah. Masha'in came bazed, hakol yodim de'in avodah zarah matzalas. So everybody knows that the avodah zarah is not saving him. Raksha asu nimus shahaba lahatzil nafsho yichnasva. He's just doing a nimus. Anyone nimus? He's doing something, I guess a trick. Shahaba lahatzil nafsho yichnasham, that he'll be able to.
What do you mean to proclamation?
Because he's doing something to proclaim.
They made a proclamation.
Yeah, Shabbala Hatzanash Yechnesba, that he'll be able to be saved. So it's clear that he's going in there only in order to be saved, not because there's any type of supernatural power that would be coming from that. So that is the answer of the Prisha. Now, we'll go to the Shulchan Aruch. We'll go to the Shulchan Aruch, and the Taz seems to ask this question and gives a slightly different answer, which has important ramifications. Before we do that, let's just check out a few of these things in the Bedek Abayis here. So, the Bedek Abayis here in the Beis Yosef, right? What's the Bedek Abayis? The things that the Beis Yosef added in the second printing, or in a later printing. So he added that in, and he referred to that as the Bedek Abayis. Now, Usually the things that he adds in are those things that specifically make it into Shulchan Aruch. But these are, it seems to just be a few miscellaneous things. So I'll show you what I mean. So Kasev Shumas Adesh and Simon Kuf Tzadiches. Shinishal al Mishumad Shiyatsim in Haklal, Bechazel Adasa Emes. That there was a Mishumad who went, he left everything. He left Yiddishkeit, went to another religion, and then he wants to come back. So Yimtsarach Lihischaper Besigufim Gedolim. So does he need to get kapara by way of major sigufim? How do you translate sigufim? So I follow the foundation of penance. Does he need to do some kind of major penance on his way back? Kfi masha avra al kol mitzvah shebe Torah. Because of the fact...
Sigufim does not indicate physical punishment. Does not indicate...
It does not?
No.
It seems from the context of the question... That was the question. Do we have to? Should we be imposing something on him? In the actual Trumas Adeshin, uh-huh. Seems a little bit clearer, right? Mumer Shiyotzim Min Achal V'Chazal Das Emes Tzarich Li Yischaper B'Sigufim Gedolim Kefi Masha Avral Kol Mitzvah Shebe Torah Olo Tzarich Li Hai. Does he have to do some kind of major penance? Okay. Right? That's what it sounds like.
Kind of
oh, it is. No, so. Some kind of physical.
Yeah,
right, so you go and undergo some sort of physical thing because he violated so much. And the Trumas Adeshin says, Veheshiv de'ein lahosif laharbos laviosim yidai v'nasan tam ledavar. And he gives reasoning for that. What's his reasoning? So actually, this is a pretty short Trumas Adeshin. It's just this little thing here. So the Trumas Adeshin here says, so he says, number one, because, well, if we impose too much penance on him, he's not going to want to do it. We want to try and encourage him to come back. So too, I found as well, she'ein lahachbid alav sigufim kafima shahaya roi mitamacher. That maybe we shouldn't give him so much penance for another reason. Why? V'she'ein lacha sigufim gedolim v'roi me'asher sova b'chol yom sh'mistalif mikol atovos v'anhoz sh'anachim shiruin behem. There's no penance great enough that he will suffer that's greater than the idea that he's missing out on all of the good things that he's now going to be missing out on. Amazing. I have to read that a few times. That's what he seems to be saying, right? That he's now becoming frum again. So think about all the things he's going to give out. He's not going to be able to watch college football on Shabbos anymore, right? So that's a pretty big, that's already a big punishment. So why should we have to impose any bigger punishment on him? That would be nowadays. Well, maybe back in the old days, there might have been some greater things.
Pig's knuckles.
Pig's knuckles. Ah, okay. All right. Kfar Sharoi Behen Imam Mukabelav Tamid Achadim Uvalos Virishus Vitzaros Shaumus Matsirim LiYisrael. And he's also accepting upon himself all of the difficulties that come along with being Jewish. He didn't have to worry about all this, and now that he's on Shuv, he has to worry about it, and that's enough of a sifug. I mean, becoming Jewish is enough of a difficulty that that should qualify as his penance. I thought that was wild.
I would think you would also be an object.
He's also afraid of being beaten up, right? It's not like somebody who just did tshuva from Arayos or Ritzichos or Rishon that he did something in his wickedness, and then he should accept some kind of difficulty. But this is talking about somebody who became totally... not Jewish, and now is coming and becoming Jewish again. So we want to make it easier for him, and we're not going to impose any sifugim. Now he sigufim. So he does seem to say though that for other types of sins, maybe you would imply it. So I thought this might be an interesting topic. Let's see what we can come up with regards to this. Anyway, coming attractions. So, and then he goes on and says a few other things. A couple of things that I heard from Rabbeinu Yeruchim, right? So even though we assume that there's ein shliach ledvar avera, right? That we don't, if I tell somebody to go and steal something, so they're the robber, not me. Ein shliach ledvar avera. That's not considered a messenger for something that's prohibited. However, mikol makom afal pi shepatim b'dini adam u'mishaleach chay b'dini shemayim. I still have some type of chiyuv. I'm still chayuv for conspiracy to commit some kind of crime. And midini shemayim, I'm going to be chayuv, and he brings a raya for that. Skip a couple of lines. Katan she'ochel nevelos in basin mitzuvin lahafrisho, that a child who's eating nevelos basin doesn't have to separate from him. However, davka she'osel das atzma, that's only if he does it on his own. But if an adult is giving it to him, so then basin is responsible to take it away from him. Right? That's the second thing, right? So a parent, you don't have to take away from him, you're not allowed to give it to him, and if somebody is giving it to him...
Like if he's eating it on his own.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the truth is, nevelus is interesting. I mean, nevelus, we assume, is anyways an issue because nevelus causes timtum halev. There's a concept that dafka, non-kosher things, eating non-kosher things, leads to problems. So I don't think he's saying nevelus dafka. He seems to be referring to general sins. And then, finally, this last...
What is this apropos?
I'm not sure.
Just throw skin.
I don't know. I really don't. I'm not sure. I thought this was all quoted in the Truma Sedeshin. So I actually looked at this the first time yesterday. I was in the Kollel, and I wanted to find the Truma Sedeshin there. And it was like right where Bieberfeld was giving shear to 20 people. So I wasn't going to start looking through all over the shelves. So then I was thinking, okay, I went home, took my Truma Sedeshin. Truma Sedeshin is 5 lines. It's just the top little section there. I'm not sure if this is all found in the Rabbeinu Yeruchim or it's like a mix. But then he has one other thing here. Habala Beistin, V'amar Haraktis HaNefesh. Let's say somebody shows up and comes to the Beistin and says, you know, I killed somebody. Or Chalalti Shabbos. I skipped a few lines. I don't know if you can see where I am. Uavarti avera, violated some kind of din. Ein mandin oso, ein malkin oso. We don't put him in chayrim. We don't give him malkus. The impostlin oso ladies. We don't even pass him from edus. The edus meishim nasim o rasha. This person doesn't make himself rasha, right? The alacha karava. Aval im ratzalasos tshuva malkin oso v'osin lo kapara. Person wants to do tshuva, so we should give him malkus. Vizui kapara sobat of Malchus makom misa. And this is his kapara because Malchus takes the place of misa, and that should be helpful. So this is probably the source for people that do like makos on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, right? That you've ever seen this? Mm-hmm. It's mentioned in Shulchan, I didn't look it up. I'm pretty sure it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and I've only saw it once.
Chabad.
Yeah, Chabad does it.
What's the sin?
No, they like take out a belt and like, you know, kind of lightly strap somebody on the back. It's not a, they don't take a shirt off and you know, tie him to the post or anything. It's just a, like a symbolic thing. But it is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch and it seems to be mentioned here.
What's the sin?
Is that really?
No.
Right, they do 39 right. Times?
No, I don't know.
That's a marcus. I mean, that's like...
Right, it's a symbolic thing. So is there any meaning to that? That's what I'm really thinking. Like, so what does that work? And the people that don't do it, what are we saying by not doing it? That's the.
What was the
sin of him? What? He's Mechal Shabbos.
He killed somebody or he did Mechal.
Yeah, or he killed somebody or something.
But what do you do with the guy that killed somebody?
Hmm?
What happens with the guy that said, I killed somebody?
That's the same thing. That's what we were saying. The guy shows up in Basin and says, you know, I feel really bad, but this is the thing I did. So he can demand makus in order to count as a punishment for him to alleviate his guilt. Now, that's an interesting concept. I mean, is that really what we assume? You know, hashkafically, is that really...
But that's not symbolic. That's
real. What they're suggesting here is to do it for real.
Yeah.
What the minhag is to do on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, I don't know. I've got to look it up. I'm not sure. I mean, yes, you're right. To slap someone on the back a few times with a belt, that might not, I don't know if that's even the minhag. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. Got to look it up. We'll get to it. Okay, so that is interesting. Bedek Habayis. I'm not sure what to do with it, but let's take a look now in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kufnun Zayin Siv Gimel. So all it mentions here is Mishin is Chayiv Misa Mutu Livorach Leves Ovikulchavim. That somebody who's Chayiv Misa, it is permitted to run to a base of Avodah Zarah Lahatzil Asma in order to save oneself. Now, if one looks in the Taz towards the second half, so towards probably about 2/3 into the Taz, it says, Uvasimun Kuf Mem Tes. It's probably 2-3 lines or 4 lines above the end of the Simon. Simon Kufnun Zayin ends, that last Taz, so a few lines up. It says Uvasimin Kuf Mem Tes, Mevi Hatur. That's Taz is on the inside column.
Oops.
I have Uvasimin Kuf Nun Hey.
Mevi Hatur, the little Yishtamin Hamayan.
I'm looking for Kuf Mem Tes.
Yes, in that last taz, does not, I don't see where it says it was Simon Kufnun Hay.
Oh, I have Simon Kufnun Taz.
Yes.
I got it. It's, just a second, shall we? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up. From the
very end of the Simon.
From Kufnun Taz.
Yeah.
In the Taz.
So,
so
he raises the same question that the Prisha asked. Says a simon kufim test maybe at Torah delo yishdamina mayan hamoshel kufnei aliel afilu im yamos, right? You're not allowed to drink from this mayan that comes from out of the avodah zarah, even if you might die if you don't drink it. So nearly latarets. So I'll answer this. Now I don't know why he doesn't give the other answers that are brought there. I mean, there were some other answers to explain why that would be. Over there. So one was because you don't necessarily know that you're going to die. It's just like you feel yourself already weak. There was, I think another answer was that was this, I'm not sure why, but he tries to put these two together. He says, I feel im yamus, im lo yesha, nir ali latarit, the shiny hasam, shaholich sham lasos maisa, shiyeh lo toelas. Because there you're actually doing something that has a purpose. Then you could go in the daber sham im hasar okiyotzebo. That was another thing. To talk to like the general, the officer there, something like that. That's a problem. V'alze asu shaman. That's a problem. Mashein kin kan shiyeh sham shevi al tasa. But here, you're just running away. And it happens to me that you end up in a church. So ein ze ela harchakos hanezek umutar bikoach nefesh. That's only like staying away from nezek, from being damaged, just trying to keep the damage away from you. Umutar bikoach nefesh. And now be mutter in the case of bikoach nefesh. I mean, the cases of the water, or the case of maybe finding the general there in order to get some kind of exemption, that's problematic because you're actually actively doing something there. I mean, what's saving your life is what's in the church. Here, what's saving your life is that you're in the church and not outside. Right, that's the Taz's distinction. So if that's the case, it's a little bit more problematic with some of the cases of like hiding in churches and stuff. It's not so simple because then if you're actually trying to accomplish something in there, that already seems to be going against this Taz. So in Rabbi Raya, again, I found these Rabbi Reisman Shirim, so he commented that, you know, we hear about people sending their kids and stuff to the church during the Holocaust, stories like that. So he said, well, he said, didn't think that to leave your kid there, if that was really the assumption, well, I'm going to leave my kid in the church in order to save his life, and he's just going to grow up Christian. So he thought that that's usher. He said, you weren't allowed to do that. That's handing the kid over to a avodah zarah. But probably that wasn't the assumption. The assumption wasn't we're handing our kids here and we're going to die. The assumption was that we're going to hand our kids here and we'll be back in a month. I mean, nobody really knew that the end was coming. So that was how we understand those incidents. But I don't think it was only a few incidents. This is, I think, a significant number of people who gave their kids over either to the church or to families associated with the church. It's the same issue. Okay. So, fine. So that is the end of Simon Kufnun Zayin. Now, he raised an interesting, very interesting issue, though. And that is Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman raised an issue that the Gemara in Shabbos in Simon Kuf Tes Zayin says the following. It talks about books and stuff on Shabbos, saving stuff on Shabbos and saving things that might have the Shem Hashem, but might also be Kfira, but might have Kfira in it on Shabbos. And he comments, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Akapach es banai shim yavo liyadi shiny esrof usov yes haskar shabahan. He says, I will bury my sons. If such a books were to come into my hands, I would not burn them together with the divine names that they contain. I would somehow figure out a way to separate them. Shafilu adam rodif ach why? Shafilu adam rodif ach rav lahorgo. He says, for even if a person were pursuing to kill somebody, or v'nachash ratz lahakisho, or a snake is running after somebody to bite him, nichnas leves avodah zarah. One is permitted to run into avodah zarah, ve'ein nichnas lebateim shel elu. But I am not permitted to run into the house of these. Who's these? These are the apikorsim. These are apikorsim. I mean, I'm allowed to run into a house of, and it's mesaber. I mean, a house of avodah zarah knows avodah zarah. Here are people that perhaps could convince me otherwise. So you might be thinking, right? So what do we do with what we consider heretical forms of Judaism, right? Is that then problematic to go in at all? And it sounds like worse than a base of Avodah Zarah. Now the first question is this actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch?
I'm sorry, what does this have to do with Shabbos?
Oh, why is it in the Masechta Shabbos? Because the Gemara, in the Masechta Shabbos, it talks about saving texts and things like that. So once it goes from saving texts, it talks about these are the texts that you're not are not interested in saving, and then that leads us into this discussion. But so is this actually quoted the halacha? So if one looks here, that did shafilu adam rodif achrav lahargo v'nachash ratzach isha nichnas v'yisav v'azor v'ein nichnas l'batehem. So where there's a little letter here, the emish b'nir mitzvah in the Gemara. So that sends you to emish b'nir mitzvah. Where does it quote? Tur shulchan aruch yoredeya simen kufnun zayin sif gimel. Just that's what he wrote, right? What's not right here in Simen Kufnun Zayin Sif Gimel, right? Yeah. The second half of that sentence, right? So what is the status of the second half of that din? So I didn't have time to go and trace if the Rishonim actually discussed that. The Rishonim, you know, included, not included. It's not quoted in the Beis Yosef, right? The Beis Yosef doesn't say including one, not including the other. Right? What happened to the second half of that statement? It is unclear. But this is brought up, this Gemara is brought up as a, perhaps a prohibition going into non-Orthodox places of worship.
Had a variant text. I mean, say if the Gemara had it, well, I'm not sure. Did someone have a text that had those extra few words in about the Epicurus?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not in our text. I think that's what you're saying.
No, no, no. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. For some reason, the Rishonim don't quote it. So I don't know. It's in the Gemara. I'm sorry. The Gemara has it. The Gemara has it.
Yeah, but it didn't make it to the Shulchan Aruch.
For some reason, it's not quoted L'Halach and Shulchan Aruch. So we have to figure that out. Either there could be a textual issue, or it could also just be there's reasons for why it wouldn't be quoted L'Halach. Maybe it's not quoted L'Halach. So,
there's some contradictory statement. I think in one place it says you should know what to answer in every chorus. Another place it says you shouldn't answer in every chorus. I think they explain it that one is a Goyish chorus, and you can talk to a Jewish one. You've got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that could be operating there.
Okay, so there are. I should mention before. Just going back for a moment before we move on to this next issue of the non-Orthodox places of worship. So I forgot to mention there is a significant discussion about going into churches for non-church reasons. So things like AA meetings, or things like Salvation Army things, or voting. Right, the big shot comes up with
even
voting.
If it's not in the church part, like in the social hall.
Right, so that's part of it. Is it in the social hall? So Rosh Schirnbach has a tshuva. That's I think the oft quoted tshuva on this topic, where he says he puts two things on. Number one, it can't be during prayer times. Number two, it has to be in the social hall, not in the sanctuary itself, whatever they call it. He also adds in, though, and it's only if it's Shasat Chak. Now, what do you mean Shasat Chak? Either you're voting there or not. So there, I thought, well, it's not necessarily. You could vote early. You can vote absentee. I mean, there could be ways of voting without actually going to the polling place if you have a little bit of preparation beforehand. So I thought that should be taken in places where that is. In Phoenix, that was the situation. Phoenix, there was our polling place was in was in a church. It wasn't really a normal church. It was like one of these strange sects that, like, it's not. I forgot what it was. People went. But I thought if it's a real, you know, a real hardcore Catholic church, so then we should avoid it.
My situation now, because we used to vote in Beth Phila, has its own problems. But now it became a Baptist church.
Yeah. And that's still the voting place.
Yeah, it's the same building.
Okay, so
we don't go into the church part.
Yeah, so the Iker Din, it seems like it's okay, but I think if there's a way of avoiding, if there's a way of voting in a way that you wouldn't have to go, I think that's appropriate. I don't think it's a reason not to vote. I think we should still vote. But you should figure out a way to not do it. Adarabba, that's what Rosh Schirnbach says. He says that if that's your only choice, then that's your only choice, then you should go ahead and do it.
So the other issue was about saving stuff on Shabbat by carrying it out of anger.
That's what the Gemara was discussing. So but in the context of that, Gemara, he said this din. The din is that if you're being chased after, better to run to a base of Avodah Zarah than into a base of apikorsis. So with that in mind, so then how does that fit with our perhaps about the apikorsis? Korsim today. So there is a little bit of a doubt whether that's true or not. I mean, I happen to, we'll see how I ended up there, but I spent the Shabbos in a conservative shul for relatives' simcha, and I followed the instructions of Rav Shechter. And the rabbi had a sermon that was pure heresy. I mean, it was pure apikorsis. It wasn't the way about it. He was talking about how the Torah meant one thing, and the Tanayim changed what the Torah meant, and then it's our job to change what the Tanayim meant. I mean, that's the real deal. So it is being taught there in New Jersey, Northern Jersey. So anyway, with regards to Rosha has multiple tshuvas on these issues. So with regards to weddings that take place in non-Orthodox places of worship, so Rav Moshe says better to avoid it. He says pretty much, "In ruach hacham nochemen," that we're not such fans of this. He says that if you can avoid going into the sanctuary without being noticed, so then you should. Now, he's writing the tshuva to the Masadar Kedushin, right? He's the one who asked the question. So, okay. You can't avoid it, but the Rav Moshe seems to avoid it. I think it is somewhat of an issue that people, not only is the general issue of going in, but in many places, not necessarily here, but in many places, the social hall is what's keeping these places afloat. Or the school that's taking place in, the Orthodox day school that's renting from these places is what's keeping, it's not just, oh, we're using the space, we're actually keeping it afloat. So that is, it's a kasha. I mean, it's an issue, I think, that's out there that should be dealt with. Rav Moshe has another tshuva with regards to making a minyan. So he says, making a minyan in the sanctuary, he says, is aser. To rent out a classroom, his shiloh was actually a classroom in a different building. So to rent out a classroom in a different building, he felt was, he said he can't say that it's aser. Now, when I grew up in Hillcrest, there was a shul, it still exists. When I was a kid, it was called I went to the Young Israel of Hillcrest. This is called the Young Israel of Hillcrest Annex. It was about 3/4 of a mile away. And they rented classrooms from a conservative shul. Now, not only was it a separate part of the building, there were separate entrances. I mean, you went in, there was the main entrance, and then there was a total side entrance with a separate sign on it that said Young Israel of Hillcrest Annex. I believe they asked Shilos, I'm not sure if Moshe, but they asked Shilos about having it. And that existed. As the years have gone by, they actually ended up buying, well, they didn't actually end up buying the rest of the shul. The shul became Orthodox. It's a famous court case that actually took place with regards to that, because all of the old-time congregants came flying up from Florida in order to vote against this change, whatever, and it ended up in court because somebody sued. I think they lost the vote, but then someone sued, saying, I gave my money to a conservative institution, how dare you change it over? I mean, it was the Mount Clemens case, which we talked about here a couple of years ago, in reverse, right? I gave money to a conservative congregation, how dare you change it to be an Orthodox congregation? And they brought expert testimony that just because there's a mechitz in the shul doesn't mean that it can't be a conservative congregation, because, but Baharaya in JTS, they have a mechitz, there was at least at a time a mechitz minyan. So how can you say it's not conservative if it actually was conservative? Rabbi Rakefet quotes, I never actually saw that, Rabbi Rakefet quotes that regularly, that issue. And then Rav Moshe has a further issue where he discusses about davening in a nightclub that he has in Chelek Aleph Simen, Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Aleph. He talks about davening in a nightclub and he says that it's prohibited. Malkum Pritzos, he says that it is prohibited to daven in a nightclub. So, Rabbi Reisman, in his discussion, so he put a couple of these different things together and said, well, wait a second, we have a couple of mixed messages here. On one hand, Rav Moshe said that it's not a good idea, but still permissible to have a wedding in in one of these places. On the other hand, he says that it's prohibited to daven. He says it's permitted to have a wedding, prohibited to daven, and prohibited to daven in a makom pritzos. So how do you put these together? So he suggested that that to make a minyan someplace, that's problematic. To do a davar shebekdusha someplace, that's problematic. He said, however, a wedding, as you can argue with this a little bit, what is a wedding? Is a wedding really about the ceremony, or is a wedding really about the celebration? So the wedding's really, he suggested, the wedding's really about the celebration and the ceremony that you have, so that's kind of what goes along with the side. That goes along on the side. So therefore, he said that's why Rav Moshe perhaps was more makel with regards to the weddings, more machmir with regards to davenings. He actually went a little bit further and said, you know, if a makom pritzos is prohibited to host a host services, why is it permissible to have the Siyum HaShas in MetLife Stadium or Madison Square Garden? That was it because of the pizza that goes on there. Now, he said maybe because the, and daven there. So he said because really the main thing was the celebration, not the, and daven just happened to be on the side. I thought, I'm not sure I would really qualify MetLife Stadium as a makom pritzos. I mean, MetLife Stadium is a football stadium that might have things every once in a while that we don't appreciate, but it's an athletic event. People don't walk around, walk past or drive past MetLife Stadium and say, it's a makom pritzos. They say, that's a football stadium, as opposed to a nightclub or something like that, where people walk by and say that might qualify as a makom pritzos.
What is that word?
Pritzos is immorality, promiscuity.
Oh, so
yeah.
So the halftime show is the problem.
There's miyuchad for one thing, and
right.
There's miyuchad for football. The other stuff is really out of work.
Right, Rav Moshe's raya, he has an interesting raya about why he thinks it is prohibited to daven in a nightclub. So he says one of his rayas is that he said that there is an idea that it's better to daven where you learn. So what do you say? You see that it's that the place matters. So if the place is a bad place, so then maybe it would matter. That was his first issue. And the second thing he talks about here is a bare hitiv in Simon Kufnun Aleph Sif Katan Aleph, where he says that filu nas beis haknesses avera, that he talks about a beis haknesses that an avera took place in the beis haknesses. What was the avera that took place in the beis haknesses? This is, you know, all time tshuva scandals. Shematzu l'shamish misolel im nara. He found the shamish was having relations with a young girl in the shul. So the kasha was, is that now pasul the shul? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, no, that doesn't pass the shul. But he turned, Rav Moshe turned around and says, but if it's a makom pritzos, meaning if that's, of course, that's the exception to the rule. Right. But if that is the rule, right. So then that would then pass it as being a problem. That shaila was specifically about like rent, using it for Yom Narayim. I mean, we want to rent a social hall to be used for the high holiday services. That was the specific shaila that he asked.
What if it's a wedding place and they had a homosexual ceremony?
I don't think that it would qualify as a makom pritzos then. I mean, it just happened to happen there once. Okay. Or sometimes. All right. So we'll stop here. Sure. Next week we talk about killing Goyim. That's him and Clifton Kess. We'll discuss next week.
So you were just